Okay, today's daf is Nun Chet. We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Zion. We'll go back for a minute to the middle of the story we're at. So we're about 8 lines from the bottom. Hahu didahava b'mechosa. At obey kochavim ayel lechanuta di Israel. He goes into a Jewish store. Amar lehu, eat lechu chamer lezbune. You have wine to sell me. Amrule, it's interesting, it says Amrule, like as if there's more than one person in the store who says to him, but anyway. He says, I don't have. Have a yatib chamra bedavla, but there was wine sitting in a dli, in a pail. Shade beyade, so the non-Jew sees it, he goes over, he sticks his hand in it. Shech shech ba, he moves his hand around, which we discussed. Once shech shech, there's a concern that maybe he did nisucha hayayin, because that was one of the ways they did it. Amar lehu, hai lav chamrahu, is this not wine? Shak lehech beritche, so the Jew gets very angry, he takes the wine in the pail, shadye ledani, throws it into the chavit, not really thinking, right, this is a good example of people don't, and their anger don't really think straight, and now he's ending up with this mixture of the wine, that's possibly yenesech, mixed with his regular wine. So we saw, okay, we won't read this whole thing inside, but Rava basically says you can go sell it to non-Jews, meaning it's not asur b'hana'ah. Rav Huna Bar Chinana and Rav Huna Brid Rav Nachman say you can't. Okay? It's forbidden b'hana'ah. And they each make a shofar, like a big, you know, declaration that the case is as they say. Now we're going to there's two versions of the story. We're going to go by Rashi's, although I'll just mention on the side the Tosfot has a totally different version of the story. What happens now is Ikla Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman Lemechosa. Okay, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, comes to Mechosa, which is Rava's town. Okay, the assumption is they each potentially gave their psak in a different town. Okay, probably about the same story, but each kind of said another thing. He comes to the town of Mechosa. Okay, unclear if he's coming just to talk to Rava about this issue. Okay, right, he's made this public declaration. He's not so happy about it. He comes to Mechosa. According to Tosfot, by the way, it wasn't Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman. It was Rav Nachman himself who was Rava's rabbi. And Rav Nachman himself wanted to discuss it with him. It's possible that that's what's going on, and the discussion ends up in a different direction according to this. But anyway, according to this version, Rav Huna himself comes to speak to Rava. Amale Rava le Rava yakim shame trok trok gale delonete inche did nitrit. Okay, interesting statement. And he says to his shamash, close the door so the people don't come and disturb me. Now, the question is, what was he referring to? Not so clear. Did he mean, I don't want to have a whole argument with Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman and I'm not interested in him coming, like, hold my calls, right? Don't let anybody in. I don't want to know anything. And he shuts the door. Unfortunately, according to this version, the Shamash obviously didn't really understand where he was getting at. I guess, according to this way of reading it, so Rava didn't want to embarrass Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman and say, I don't want to see Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman. So instead, he told the Shamash, close the door, don't let anybody in, I don't want to be bothered. But then Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman comes, who was a very important person, and he figures, oh, well, he'll obviously want to let him in, but that really wasn't, right? Rava really didn't want that, because a second later, al-legabe, he actually goes in, okay, Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman comes into Rava's area where he was, and, you know, they have a discussion. Anyway, we'll get to the discussion in a second. That's one way of reading it. Another way of reading it is he was expecting him to come, and maybe especially if you say it was Rav Nachman, his rabbi, coming, and he wanted to close the door so no one else would disturb them. He wanted to have a good discussion with him about it. What comes out in the story we're going to see is that, in fact, between the time that the story happened and the time that Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman comes, Rav already changed his mind about it, which makes it a little strange. If he was really trying to avoid Rav Huna, why was he trying to avoid things? And in general, his behavior, according to this nusach, and this is why Tosfot changes the nusach a little, his behavior is a little strange considering the fact that he changed his mind. We'll see what happens here. Okay, Amarle ki agav namai. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman says to him, so if you had a case like this, what would you say? Amarle asur afilu b'hana'ah. He says, not only can you not drink it, which they all agreed about, but you also can't benefit from it, which is exactly the opposite of what he said, actually. Okay? So now, he says, V'ham marhuda amar shich shech eno se yayin esech, but aren't you the one who says that just because he puts his hand in it doesn't make it yayin esech? Now, what does it mean he puts his hand in it doesn't make it yayin esech? We've been saying all along it does. What's the difference between this case? Okay, we're going to see that this case falls into this, all different categories. This case is a case where he put his hand in for a particular reason. If he puts his hand and moves it around for a particular reason, in this case he wanted to check that it was wine. So if he's doing it for a particular reason, then the question is, can we say, right, this is what the debate is, can we say that he moved his hand for a particular reason and therefore it wasn't for nisuch? Or do we say that that's only the case when he did it? Remember the other case, the Madado case, where he measured it for the Jew? Remember, the non-Jew comes in and he wants to measure the wine, but there it was for the purpose of the Jew. So there could be a distinction between whether he does it for the purpose of the Jew or the purpose of himself. So the case of Madado, I'm just going to remind you, there was a three-way machloket between Rabbi Natan on one hand, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand, Tanakama in the middle, where Tanakama holds if he measures it. And in doing so, he was shichshech, but since he's doing it for the Jew, therefore, it's allowed. Okay? It's allowed bahana'ah. Not for drinking, but bahana'ah, for benefiting. This is a case where he's mixing it for atzmo, because he wants the wine. So there, we're going to see now, it's asur bahana'ah. So there's a distinction between a non-Jew doing it for himself, where there's a concern that even though he had a particular intent when he was shechshech, it could be that at the same time he was doing the nisuch. Whereas if he's doing it for the purpose of the Jew, we're going to assume he's not doing it for nisuch purposes. Okay, right? The whole nafkamin is it asur bahana'ah or not? So now, basically, we're going to see that even Rava changed his mind and says it's asur afilu bahana'ah in this case. So then he questions him, well, didn't you say this? So he says, Imer da amre ana. Now, instead of saying, okay, now this is what makes the story strange, and this is why Tosfos a little has a bit of a problem here. Rav is not admitting that he changed his mind, okay? He's not saying, oh, I made a mistake before, and now I'm taking it back. And Tosfos basically claims this reading is difficult because if you say that, it doesn't make sense because Rav in other cases is willing to admit his mistake, so why doesn't he admit his mistakes here, okay? So anyway, instead of saying, I made a mistake and I changed my mind, he says like this, Imer da amre ana, when I said it was asur bahana'ah, what I meant, the opposite. When I said he can sell it, right, that's what Rava said. He's allowed to sell the wine in that barrel that now has the ye nesach mixed in. He claims, even though it's not, he's a little bit bending the truth, he says, Imer da amre ana, livar mi demehu chamra. Demehu chamra mi amar. He says, what I meant was he can sell the barrel. Okay, the barrel's made up of, it's got wine in it, right? It's got, it's full of wine, okay? This is wine. And then he dumps into it the yain that's, you know, the he shech shech, okay? Shech shech. I can't write it. Okay, shech shech, here we go. Okay, so now he puts in the wine, shech shech. Now we have, let's say this was, 100 milliliters, and now he adds 10 milliliters. So he sells the 100 milliliters. He sells, right, the wine for the price of 100 milliliters, not 110. What he's saying is you can't benefit from that wine. So what I meant is when I said you could sell it, well, you could sell the wine, you just have to deduct so that there's no benefit from the yei nesach. You have to deduct the cost of what it, right? You can only sell it for the amount that was originally in the barrel and not, so you basically sell all the wine but for a lower price. And therefore, there was no hana. So he says, that's what I meant. Even though it's going to be clear that that's not what he meant and that he really changed his mind. Why did he change his mind? Because of a conversation he had with Abaye. Okay? Amar Rava. So now Rava's going to explain. Ki atai lepumpedita, atpan nachmani shmatita umatnita. When I got to Pobedita, Nachmani, which is a kinoi, it's a reference to Abaye, who is, there's a debate whether that's really his name and they just call him Abaye, or he was adopted by Rabba Bar Nachmani and he gets called by the name Nachmani from Rabba's family. Anyway, Nachmani attacked me with Shmatita and Matnita. Matnita is Braitot, and Shmatita is Divrei Amoraim, okay, things that the Amoraim said. To Asir, okay? And basically, he was trying to convince me that it's Asur. So what was his, now we're going to see, what were the Shmatita and what were the Matanita? Shmatita, Dahu Uvde Dahava bin Nahardea, there was a case in Nahardea where the Goy Shechshech, not the Kavanah Lenasech, okay? He moved around the wine without intending to do the Nisuch. The Asar Shmuel, B'Tveria v'Asa Rabbi Yochanan. So the Abaye says, look, there was a case in Nehardia where Shmuel forbade it. There was a case in Tveria where Rabbi Yochanan asked it. So how on earth can you say that it's mutar? So he says, V'Amrele, and I told him, told Abaye, Lefisha Einam B'nei Torah, the people in those places were not B'nei Torah. And what was the concern? The concern was, as you can imagine, that if there's a case where it's Sheikh Sheikh, okay, we can talk about two possibilities. Either you could say that they would confuse Sheikh Sheikh Litzorech Mashu, right, for the purpose of something specific, where we're going to say that's okay. Whereas if Sheikh Sheikh, for no purpose at all, then we're going to assume he did Nisuch. And then, okay, so then you can understand that people are going to get confused. If they say, well, it depends all on his Kavanah, well, that's going to, you know, over the generations, nobody's going to remember that there's a difference between Sheikh Sheikh B'Chavanah, Sheikh Sheikh Lo B'Chavanah, it's going to get confusing. Or this distinction of Litzorech Yisrael or Litzorech Atzmo, where we said before, that if he was measuring it for the Jew, it's okay. If he's measuring it for himself, then it's a problem. So because of the concern that maybe there'd be some confusion, they basically forbade it across the board. So therefore, Rava says, just because you bring me Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that doesn't prove anything. So what's his retort? Notice the places he talked about, Nehardia and Tveria. Now those were places where there were definitely a decent number of Talmidei Chachamim, and yes, there might have been Einam B'nei Torah, but they're going to basically throw it back, Abaye's going to throw it back at Rava and say, Va'amali, Tveria u'Nehardia, Einam B'nei Torah, the Mechoza B'nei Torah, what, you think your people in your city are better than Nehardia and Tveria? In other words, give me a break. You have the same problem by you, and we should usher it across the board. So that was the Shema Tata, which didn't exactly work. And that's why Rava in the end changes his mind, and which basically shows that it's not actually a halachic issue per se, right? It's not mi'ikar adin. It's one of these, we don't want people to get confused, and therefore we should forbid it. The second thing is a Mishnah, or a Braita. De'ar gedamim, actually I forget if this is a Mishnah or Braita. Yes. It's a Braita. It's actually a Tosefta, okay? You can see in the Masoret HaShas, it says the Tosefta Perakhet. Argadamim ovdei kochavim, okay? These were people who were in charge of setting the prices in the shuk. So what did they do? They needed to check out the wine and to see what you know, type of wine. Is this a good wine? Is it a not so good wine? What should the price in the shuk be? So here these are gedamim ovei kochavim, a particular one. Shekadach b'meneket v'he'ela. What did he do? He took the barrel and he drilled a hole in it with some sort of, it sounds almost like a straw type utensil, but a little stronger than that. And then he took out some wine through that, almost like sipping it through a straw or something of the sort. O sheta'am minakos v'chziro l'chavit. Or he took some to taste into a cup, and then he was done tasting. He didn't need, right? He could have taken advantage and drunk the whole thing, but he didn't need to drink the whole thing. So he dumped the rest back into the chavit. Zehaya ma'aseh v'asruhu. Okay, so this happened, and they forbade it. So now, what do you assume here? When it says they forbade it, what did they forbid? Abaye says, ma'la bahana'ah. They forbade it bahana'ah because it had the wine that the non-Jew had drunk from it, or had, you know, he had taken out some from it, right? You know, when you drink with the straw, it's a little bit comes back in, right? That's what, people don't like sharing cups. So he says, isn't it bahana'ah? And therefore, doesn't that go against you? So comes Rav and he says, lo b'shtia. When he says it's ruhu, they meant it was forbidden to drink. They didn't mean it was forbidden to sell, because there's no isorana'ah, there was no kavanah to do shichshuch. Again, it's the same thing. Where he was mishachshech, maybe moved it around, but not for the purposes of nisuch, or, you know, where he had the wine in his cup, you know, but, okay, there wasn't a concern. So now he says, no, you can't say it's just b'shtia and not b'hana'ah, because look at the continuation of that Tosefta. Ihachi litne yimacher. It should have said, if it's only asher b'shtia, it should have said, but you can sell it. How do you know you should have said you can sell it? Because it says in the continuation of that Tosefta, kidekatane seifa, as it says in the end, charam ovei kochavim. Okay, the interpretation of a haram, Rashi says, is a mishuga ubal revote umeher lasot shelo b'chavana. Okay, so the guy is just angry and does things without real intent. Shoshit yado lechavit v'kisavur shel shemen hi v'nimseit shel yayin. He thought it was shemen. He put his hand in there without paying attention. It's the kind of guy who just doesn't pay attention to what he's doing. He sticks his hand in, thinking it's shemen, it's oil. And it turns out, nimtzeit shel yayin. And he thought it turned out to be wine. Ze hayama seva amru yimacher. Okay, they said this is not asur bahana'a. Okay, we now see that in order for something to be yei nesef, it's asur bahana'a, it has to have, number one, you have to know that it's wine. Number two, you had to have had kavana l'shachshech, okay? Even if, we're seeing now, even if your kavana was two, again, it has to be l'tzorach atzmo, not for the tzorach of the Jew. And, right, in other words, this issue of kavana to mix or to move it around without necessarily, even though he was intending for a different act, right, as long as there was kavana l'shachshech, that's already considered enough kavana that maybe he did nisuch, as long as he was doing it for himself and not for the Jew. If he was doing it for the Jew, then there's room to say that maybe then there wasn't nisuch. His kavana was just the shachshech for the purpose of whatever purpose he was using, but not that. Yeah.
How does that fit with the dekel?
Okay. So the dekel is a case right there.
There was no kavana l'shachshech. There wasn't even kavana that there was wine.
But there was shichshuch. So we also see that even, in other words, as long as there's shichshuch, even if there wasn't kavanah for shichshuch, it's also a problem. And here what we're discussing is a different thing. What we're discussing here is there's kavanah. The whole point of our case, well, okay, there are two different cases. The case of the lulav, there was shichshuch without kavanah. That's like Rav, who holds that a tinok ben yomo does shichshuch, it's yei nesech, because even without kavanah, it's going to be yei nesech. Then we say, but what if there's kavanah l'shachshech for a particular purpose? And then we can try to say, well, maybe he's only doing it for that purpose. And when you do it for no purpose, so we can say we're going to forbid it. But when you do it for a particular purpose, maybe there'd be reason to think we can be matir because he wasn't doing it for nisuch purposes. But since he was doing it for himself, there was a concern that maybe while he was doing shichshuch for whatever purpose, he also thought in his head, oh, I'm going to do nisuch. So they're different cases, okay?
So was he doing it for himself, or was he doing it to be mean to the other person?
So that could be also, but it's not so clear that that's why he was doing it. It's not so clear that his intent was to mess up the Jew. Even though it could have been in that case with the Dali, the other attempt we said was maybe he was trying to figure out, is this wine or not? And he touched it to see if it was wine, and that's why right after he touched it, he said, what do you mean this isn't wine? Here, I can show you it's wine. Right, the same way kids like touch everything, right? You know, you want to touch it to see what is it, right? It's the same kind of idea. So he touched it to see what it was. Again, let me just set it out there. I can't get into everything, but you could spend probably a year on these dapim. There's clearly different interpretations going on here, and that leads to different, you know, I'm kind of trying to clarify, but even within what I'm clarifying, there's different opinions and different people read. It's like, it's classic Gemara. There's stories or cases, and they try to derive from these cases what makes this case unique and how can we how can we categorize this? So there's a bit of a debate about all these things. So anyway, he says, if you look in that case, haram avay kochavim shoshit yadol chavi because of Rosh Hashem v'nitzeit shal yayin, ze hayam asev amru yimacher. So what do you see here? The continuation of the Braita said, in this case, you can get benefit. You can sell it. You can't drink it, but you can sell it. Therefore, the assumption is when it said asruhu, they meant even bahana'ah. And they end here and they say, tiyuvta de Rava tiyuvta. Okay, and therefore, Rava was basically knocked out by Abaye, and that's why Rava changed his mind and basically said, yes, we're going to forbid it. Now, what's interesting is the first source seems to indicate it's not mikaradin. It's just they were machmir on it. The second, the Tosefta seems to indicate it's really Asr, but maybe you could say the same thing, though. Maybe they only Asr'd it, but seems it's also not 100% conclusive here. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a minute, even though I can't remember whether I want to continue. I'm not sure if I want to read this first, but I'm going to read it anyway, because I'll read it now. I can't remember if later parts of the Gemara connect to this also, but in the Shulchan Aruch is a very interesting thing in the Ramah. So in Yoredei Kuf Kaf Dalid, in Chod Yei Nesech, in Seif Kaf Dalid, okay, it says, I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch, Maga Ovei Kochavim B'Yayin Ayidei Davar Acher, okay, that's like the Lulav, Shelo B'Chavana, Kigon Shehaya Yorei Me'adekel U'Biyado Lulav V'Nagah B'Rosh Lulav B'Yayin Shelo B'Chavana, O Shehaya Ma'alech V'Nagah B'Knaf B'Gdo Shelo B'Chavana, okay, or you know, his shirt dropped into it, al yedei davar acher, ela she'eno yodea shu yayin, mutar afilu b'shtia. Okay, here he paskins, not like Rav, but that in fact it's mutar b'shtia. And the Rama says here, v'hu adini mechniz barzel l'chavit, like our case, if you put, right, the non-Jew put the berries inside the chavit, right, to make a spout, o hotzio shelo b'chavana, kamo shenit ba'er, u'bizman hazeh, here's the important line. He says, and nowadays, tahaumot lav ovde kochavim hem. The nowadays, people are not idol worshippers. This seems to be a common theme that keeps coming up. Kol maga'an mikre shelo b'chavana. Any touching they do is not b'chavana. Even if they do it b'chavana, that's the sin. In other words, a non-idol worshipping non-Jew, shebechavana mixes the wine or touches it, is equivalent to an Oved Kochavim or Mazalot, an idol worshipper who does it shelo b'chavana. V'lachein im naga b'yayin ha'yedei davar acher, af api sheyodea shu yayin b'kivein ligabo, mutar afilu shtia d'mikre maga al yedei davar acher shelo b'chavana. Just one second. Why does he say... It doesn't make sense, because he said anyway, it's mutar b'shtia... So I'm confused because the Shulchan Aruch already said it was mutar b'shtia, even though we saw it was asur.
But then Oveda Gadazara, so they're making the analogy to.
No, but then all the more so, obviously then it's mutar. So the Shulchan Aruch, I don't understand why he says the whole thing is mutar because we were saying it's asur. Okay, I was really looking at the Rama. I didn't know Shulchan Aruch before. Okay, let me just go on. So now he says, I see. That's why. They were bringing up the Shulchan Aruch was talking about the case shelo b'chavana, that's mutar. So he says basically, a non-Jew who does it even b'chavana, and not only did davar acher, right, that was all davar acher, right, and this is b'chavana, right, is going to be like that case, and it's going to be mutar filu b'shtia. Demikre magal yedei davar acher shelo b'chavana. V'hu adin im naga filu b'yado b'lo kavanat maga, o shelo yadashu yayin share. Okay, so he says, and even if naga filu b'yado b'lo kavanat maga, okay, he touched it with his hand without intending to touch, or he didn't know it was wine, it's going to be mutar. Okay, so big kula. However, he says, ve'ein lefarsem hadavar b'fnei ha'ma'aretz. Okay, he says, but you shouldn't tell Amaritz in this. Okay, exactly like, well.
Not only that, we're machmir.
Yeah, I mean, right. That's where all of
you. Yes, we're very machmir, yes.
It seems very odd.
Yes, we're very machmir. And I wanted to point out that the same concept of, you know, don't tell the people about the Einam B'nei Torah, there's a concern that people are going to start, well, if they touch, you know, and if they were idol worshippers, they're not idol worshippers, and it'll cause this huge confusion, and in the end, it will create big problems. Okay? So because of that, they basically say, you know, the Rama basically says...
The Rama wrote this when they were already bottling wine, and it wasn't an open barrel. The whole concept altogether, even in Middle Ages, if they were making wine and leaving barrels open, then snakes could have gotten in, all kinds of things. It could have tainted or poisoned.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying they had other intents of...
been closed so that it would have...
No, but again, the issue is if a non-Jew is part of your process and he's working for you or all that other stuff,
then... When we said it came into a store, I was thinking about commercially, mm-hmm. The wine should be covered.
Right. Right, it's definitely true. So right, but nafkamina is now or much more later. You know, they're serving wine or things like that, which we're going to get to right now about serving. Okay. Tov. So now, I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Was it up to that? Rabbi Yochanan ben Arzav, Rabbi Yossi bar ben Nehorai, havu yatve v'kashatu chamra. They were sitting drinking wine. Ata hu gavra, a guy comes over. Amrele, they think he's Jewish, and they say to him, ta eshkinan. Can you please pour us our wine? Libatar derama lekasa, after he pours them the wine, igale milta dove kochavimu. They realized, oh my goodness, he's not Jewish. He's an idol worshiper. Chad asar afilu bahana'a, v'chad shari afilu b'shtia. They now had two totally opposite approaches to this. One said, this is totally asar, not only b'shtia, also bahana'a. And the other one said, this is mutar even to drink. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi comments on the story. He says, "Mand asir shaper asir, umand shari shaper shari." Everybody thought, you know, they were each clear-headed when they said what they said. Whoever thought it was asir, he was right, and whoever thought it was mutter is also right. Okay, what does that mean? How can they can't both be right? So we're going to understand that he means it that they each had a good logical argument for doing it because they each thought of the situation differently. Manda asar, meimar amar, salkadate drabanan kihane shikra, kashatu. Elavadai, sorry, let's read it like this. Meimar amar, the guy himself, the Ove Kochavi, must have said to himself, when he sees the Jews are inviting him, right, the assumption is the non-Jews know this halacha. Okay, that's an assumption. They know that they can't touch it. And therefore, he says, now, there's a difference between beer and wine. Beer is not forbidden. Wine is forbidden. So he says, "Sal kadate drabanan kihane shichra kashate." What, you think the rabbis are sitting drinking beer? Elavadai hai chamruhu. He realized, he says, what, these rabbis, there's no way these rabbis are sitting around drinking beer. Beer is not a respectable drink. There's no way. It must be they're drinking wine, and therefore he knew it was wine. Remember what we said. He has to know it's wine. So therefore the assumption is he knew it was wine. And nasche. Okay, and he wanted to mess them up, and he was menasech to his gods. Man de share shapir share. Why? Because meimar amar, he said to himself, he figures, the guy must have said to himself, salkadata darabanan kihane chamar kashate, va'amale ledidita eshkinan, elavadai shichru kashate velo nasche. The guy said, what, the rabbis for sure can't be drinking wine. They never would have invited me to go pour their wine for them. They must be drinking beer, in which case he didn't think it was wine, in which case he wasn't menasech, because he didn't even know it was wine. So now, question, and therefore it's totally mutar. So now they say, v'hakachase, but couldn't he tell it was wine? And when he got closer, you could figure out the difference between wine and beer. They say, bilel, yeah, it was nighttime. And therefore, he couldn't see. Remember, in those days, night meant it was pretty dark. But can he smell it? Right, you can smell the difference between wine and beer. Bechadata was new wine, which doesn't have a smell to it. Okay, and the assumption is, I don't know why the beer didn't have a beer smell to it, but you know, I can smell beer when I'm around it. But anyway, but didn't he touch it? Binatla. So now they say, no, he didn't actually touch it. He was holding the kli that it was in. Okay? In other words, he was pouring it. V'havale maga ove kochavim shelo b'chavana v'asur. But still, it should be maga ove kochavim shelo b'chavana. And what did we say? If he touches it, shelo b'chavana, it should be asur. Lo tzricha dekamorek oruke. The case is where, now we're going to see that the whole thing, he doesn't actually come in contact with the wine. Right? He pours it, which means it's a din of kocho. His koch, the whole issue is that when the wine is pouring, it's mishachshech, it moves. So, but it's not that he's moving it with his hand, it's that he's pouring it, and his koch is causing it. And therefore, kol kocho shelo b'chavana lo gazru b'rabanan. So the one who matures basically says like this. Yes, it's true that if you mix it shelo b'chavana without intent to nasech, we're worried you did it l'nasech. However, if you did it in a way of kocho, where you didn't actually do it with your hand yourself, but your movement caused it, you poured it, and that caused it, that's already once removed, and we're going to say in that case, lo gazru b'rabanan. Because remember, this whole thing is gzeira d'rabanan, and therefore, we're going to say, classic case, right? We only gozer in a mikre de shachiyah, right? And doing it al yidei kocho, and not by himself, is already a mikre lo shachiyah. And therefore, he says, it's mutar. Okay? So we have different approaches to whether, in other words, first we thought he said it was mutar because he didn't think it was wine. Then we say, no, he obviously must have known it was wine. However, we'd still, one second. But the truth is, they also seem to indicate that it could have been wine that didn't have a smell, and therefore, but somehow they think, and I'm trying to think, is it the combination of factors or is it just that one factor? In other words,
it seems to me that we rejected it in the end. Of a jug instead of even touching it indirectly with a lid.
Right, which means even if, but they which didn't actually say that he knew it was wine. In other words, in the end, we kept that answer. That was a good answer. So, 1 second. I see. There's an assumption. Even if he didn't know it was wine, it's still going to be... I see. It would still be asur to drink. That's the issue. It wouldn't be asur b'hana'ah, but it would still be asur to drink. In other words, we have two issues. That's why I got confused. We have two issues. One is it asur b'hana'ah? There he has to know it's wine. In this case, he didn't know it was wine. He thought it was beer. However, he still came in contact with it. And once he comes in contact with it, then we have the issue of chatanut. And then we have the issue of, we can't, you know, we're worried about having a relationship with them, and therefore he touched your wine. And they say, no. That's only if he actually touched your wine. But yedei kocho, we're not going to be machmir ad kedei kach on that issue.
But isn't it a general problem when non-Jews pour your wine for you?
Like, yes, we paskin that it's a problem. But remember, there were two opinions. No, because first of all, when a non-Jew pours your wine, he knows it's wine. This mm-hmm. case, he didn't think it was wine. Mm-hmm. Remember, the one who ossered, and ossered it even b'hana'ah, says that he knew it was wine. Mm-hmm. And that's why. So in our day and age, everyone knows whether it's wine or not.
Yours. When the non-Jew is pouring it, you can question whether it's his or if it's his.
He can mess up your wine even if it's yours. That's like a chidush in yei nesach, right? Usually we say, and we're going to get to this at the end of today's daf, that if you don't own something, so you can't be minasech, because it's not yours minasech. However, when it comes to wine, which we're only going to get to in a few dapim, actually, it might even be in tomorrow's daf, that why we treat this, that they can be minasech, your wine, even though they don't own it. That's something else, okay? That's an additional thing, that they have to own it. Okay. Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. Now we're going to get off on a weird interaction between the two of them. Yayin shemisacho, it reminds us of the beginning of the daf, where there was this weird interaction that Rava, again, according to whatever interpretation you take, but according to if you go with the one that Rava closed the door because he didn't really want to deal with Rav Huna, you know, also kind of a strange interaction. Here we also have a bit of a strange interaction. Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. Yayin shemisacho ove kochavim mahu. If he does what we call miziga, where he dilutes the wine, okay? So is he allowed to dilute the wine? Is that a problem? Right, that was how they made their wine, basically, by diluting it. They had their wine, and then they mixed it with water. So if he does, mahu. So amarlei, ve'ema, mazgo. Why did you say mascho? Mascho means kind of to mix it, to dilute it. And mazgo is the word generally used for this process, right? We always use yayim mazug. We've seen it many times. Why didn't you say in your question, he's asking a question of semantics, why didn't you use the language of mazgo? Amarlei, ana kidichtiv ka'amina. I spoke like the way it says in the pasuk. In other words, I speak in Tana Idik Hebrew. Okay? Not Tana Idik, Tanakh Hebrew, okay. Biblical, right. Here's not the Bible, that's why I specifically said Tanakh. It's a pasuk from Mishlei. Okay, it's a pasuk that says, Tavcha tivcha mascha. Yena af archa, tavcha tivcha mascha yena. Okay, she mixed her wine. Af archa shulchana. Okay, it's talking about the woman. This is what she did. And it says mascha yena. So here you see, they use the, right? I wanted to use the terms used in Mishlei. Amarle, so Rabbi Yochanan answers him back. Lashon Torah la'atzma, lashon chachamim la'atzmo. You should speak in the language of the Chachamim. Don't use words that are used in the Tanakh. You should speak in the language of the Chachamim. Okay, we know that the Lashon of Torah and Lashon of Chachamim is different. Actually, took a class once in university where they were, it was Aramit Bavli, but within the course, I think it was that course, and he basically also talked a lot, the professor, about the differences between the Mishnaic Hebrew and the Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, and it's very different. That was a total aside. He says, fine, so fine, you don't like the way I use it, but anyway, okay, so what's the halacha? Okay, if he dilutes your wine, is it okay? Amar le asur mishum lech lech amri nazira schor chor lekarma lo tikrav. Classic, we've seen this many times. They say to the nazir when he comes to a vineyard, don't walk through the vineyard because you might be tempted to pick a grape. Right, go all the way around so that you stay far away from it. And that's what they said here, same thing. In other words, yes, it might be okay for him to dilute your wine because there's no shikshuk in the process, he just pours it. But adif to stay away from this. Rabbi Yirmiya ikla l'safta, that's not a grandmother, he got to a place called Safta. Chaza chamra, he saw wine, demazge ove kochavim, the ove kochavim it diluted, v'ishte Yisrael mine, and a Jew was drinking it. And he says, hey, you can't drink that. Mishum lech lech amrin nazira schor schor lekamer lo tikrav. It was also said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar la Rabbi Yasi. We're basically seeing in this whole thing, Rabbi Yochanan answered Rabbi Yasi in the first case, a second case he saw someone doing it and he said, don't do that. And in the third case, we even see that Rabbi Yasi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, presumably after the conversation they had, my only thinking is that they repeated this three times, showing Rabbi Yochanan said to here, Rabbi Yochanan said, right, to kind of stress, this is quite serious. It's Rabbi Yirmiya? Oh, my mistake. Oh, sorry. Okay, so the middle case is Rabbi Yirmiya. Sorry, I got confused. So the middle case is Rabbi Yirmiya, and then the last case is the same Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish ikla labatra. Rish Lakish got to the city of Batra. Chaza Yisrael de ka'achle pere de lo masre. He saw a Jew eating fruits that he hadn't taken Trumota Masro from. Ve'asra luhum. Rish Lakish said, what are you doing? You're living in Batra. It's part of Eretz Israel. You have to take Trumota Masro. Chazamaya desagdilhu Ovdei Kochavim Veshatu Yisrael. He saw water that the Ovdei Kochavim had bowed down to, and he saw Jews drinking it, and he says, it's Asur, you can't do this. I assume this story came up, it's connected to the Avodah Zarah, but it's different, it's not about Yain Esach. I assume it came up because it's another case where Rabbi Yirmiya saw people doing this and told them to stop. Here Rish Lakish saw people doing things and told them to stop. But Ata Lakameja Rabbi Yochanan, these cases of Rabbi Rish Lakish, what he did, came before Rabbi Yochanan. Amar le, Ademiktorach halach, while your jacket's still on, Zil Hadar, go back and tell them it's okay. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know what you just did, but you were wrong about both things. Why were you wrong? Okay, we'll start this today, we'll finish it up tomorrow. Betzer lav hainu batzra. You got confused about the cities. Batra is not Betzer. Betzer is the city that's in Eretz Israel. Batra is technically speaking not within the Gvulot of Eretz Israel that is considered Kedushat HaAretz. Okay? Are you familiar with the city Batra, where it is on the map? What city we're talking about? Because I didn't look up the maps or anything.
I don't know.
Okay. Fine. I didn't look up the maps, but I'm assuming that it was a border city. Oh, there's a map there. Great. Okay. So let's look. So Batra, it's in the area that's the Gilad. Let's see. It refers to a city in northern Transjordan in the Golan Heights, which is an important city and a center of commerce on the trade route that ran from the north to the south of Israel. It was the capital of Arabia, and there was a Jewish population over the generations, and they visited, but apparently, right, it's not considered part of the borders. Now, why Rish Lakish didn't know this, right, you think either it's in Israel or it's not, but maybe it was closer to the border, and maybe he wasn't sure. You know, and he thought that this was Betzer and that it was okay. The second thing is, Mayim shel Rabim ein nesarim. And this is where I said we get to this, that Mayim, why is Mayim not Asur? Even though we forbid Yei Nesach when he does, right, he takes the Jews' wine, but generally we say the water belongs to everybody, and you can't take water that belongs to everybody and offer it up to your gods, it's meaningless, because it's not yours to do anything with. So if you bow down to it as an idol worshiper, you can't forbid that water to anybody else because that water is publicly owned water. And Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei, da'am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi ben Yotzadach, mayim shel rabim ein nesarim. Okay, he says the mayim of rabim is not forbidden. Okay, we'll continue more of the discussion on tomorrow's daf tomorrow.